And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first reading we had this morning from the Wisdom of Solomon it's one of the apocryphal books. So it's not in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It sort of fits in between, and some churches use it and some churches don't. But a lot of the translations are quite traditional, which is why we had a contemporary version, hopefully making it a bit more understandable. But it talks about wisdom, and there's a lot of wisdom writing in the Old Testament, as we know. But the book of James in the New Testament is also a book of wisdom. Some people call it the New Testament book of wisdom. And in some ways, it gives us a good idea of what the wisdom that's talked about in the scriptures is about, because we often think of James as a book that talks about practicality. How do we live out our Christian lives? Faith without works is dead is the phrase that we all know from James. And James brings out that practicality of this is what wisdom's about. It's not about, if you like, that modern sense of wisdom that we have of head knowledge and learning and getting things from the internet. But it's about practically how do we live out the precepts of God and of Christ in our lives day to day. And in a way, that's what Jesus talks about in the gospel reading. It's been fascinating watching the leadership election for the Labour Party and all the various different factions that took place. And then if, you know, once somebody stood down, then, you know, they sort of said, well, we'll go and support over here. And it's also fascinating watching in the US the nominations for the various parties and the debates that they're having and the way that they're trying to outdo each other. Because we see a little bit about leadership contests in the gospel reading. Bear in mind that, you know, some of the disciples have just seen the transfiguration, they've been seen miracles, have seen what Jesus is doing, heard what Jesus is doing. And Jesus then says to his disciples, he's beginning to explain to them what's going to happen, what's going to be the outcome of his ministry. And he's just said in the first few verses we had read for us this morning that he's going to be handed over to men, he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be killed, and then he will rise again. And the Bible says the disciples didn't really know what he was talking about. And then they go along the road towards Capernaum. So it's the Galilean ministry, the north of the Sea of Galilee, and they're just walking along the coast. And when they arrive at Capernaum, Jesus turns around and says, oh, what were you talking about? You seem to be chatting quite a bit. What were you talking about on the road? You know, was it the World Cup? Was it the rugby? You know, cricket? What were you talking about? And you can imagine the shuffling of the feet and the looking down, because they've been talking about who's the greatest. Jesus has just told them that he's not going to be with them all that long. And you can imagine them thinking, possibly with even the right motives, who's going to take over? And even if he does come back, a concept that understandably they did not understand because it had never happened before, even if he does, surely he's going to need a chief of staff, a head ambassador, somebody to run the operations and keep things ticking over. And you get the sense that, you know, there's little factions in the disciples about, And you can imagine, well, actually, I was at the Transfiguration, you know, I think that gives me a few. And you can see all of this happening in the disciples as they talk about who's the greatest. And you can hear the shuffling of the feet as Jesus says, what were you talking about? But in the passage, we also see a real stark contrast Because Jesus talks about he will be handed over to men. He will be killed in their hands. He will be betrayed. And the way of men is deceit and death. And then Jesus says, but he takes a child in his hands and his arms. And he shows the contrast between the hands of men and the hands of God. Because as Jesus reaches out to the child with his hands and with his arms, he says, here is the way of life. Here is the way of truth. Here is the way of eternal life. And the contrast between the hands of men and the hands of God is so utterly stark that you can imagine the disciples being completely embarrassed about what they were talking about. Have they misunderstood what all this was about? You know, there's the hands of men, which is death and deceit and lies and betrayal, and the hands of God, which reaches out to the most insignificant, to the invisible, to those who people would just walk by and not even notice. And the challenge for us is to do the same. Not to act with the hands of the world, but to act with the hands of God. And why Jesus is talking about the practical application of wisdom, James says, come close to God, and he will come close to you. How do we reach out with the hands of God? How do we reach out with the hands of Christ? James says, in a quote from some of the Old Testament scriptures, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's how it's done. There is no other magic formula. In the Old Testament, we hear time and time again, God saying, return to me, and I will return to you. And that's what James is saying, and it's what Jesus is saying as he reaches out with his hands. Now, that's easier said than done. On the back of Partnership News, you'll see a book review by the book's called Fallingwards, and it's by a guy called Richard Rohr. And I would absolutely recommend, unreservedly, the book to you. But Richard Rohr gives a bit of insight as to what that might be. He talks about a life in two halves. There's the first half of life, which is about building a container. It's about building an identity for ourselves, about what we do, who we are, what we achieve, building a home. All of which is important, but it's not the end in itself. He then speaks about the second half of life, which is understanding what we then choose to put in that container that we've built for ourselves. And yeah, we need to go on and maintain that container sometimes, but more importantly, what is it that we put in the container? And sometimes, he says, that is helped by the things that are beyond our control, things that we can't control, things that happen to us that, if you like, bring us to our senses and help us understand and see what is really important. And it's through our failings that we begin to fall upwards towards God. Instead of falling down, we fall upwards. And in a way, using that image, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying to the disciples, it's not how well you can speak. It's not who was at any particular event. It's not about the identity that you have in yourself. But it's about the identity that you have in Christ. It's about the identity you have in me, says Jesus. Those are the things that are important. That's what's in our container. And that's what helps us reach out with the hands of Christ to those around us. That's the challenge that we have. And sometimes it's by embracing the things that are beyond our control and letting God speak to us through them that we then can speak to others and act and reach out. If you think of those things perhaps as a stumbling block, if you think of the crucifixion, that was something that was completely beyond Christ's control in one sense. It was something that happened to him. And yet through that, true life and eternal life came through the death and resurrection. And that's what Jesus talks about when he says, these are the people who will be my ambassadors, the people who become as nothing, the people who are invisible. Those are the people that Jesus asks us to reach out to. And at some time or other, we are all in that place of needing somebody to reach out to us. But the challenge to us in our world today is to reach out with the hands of God. Reach out in truth. Reach out in sincerity to those who otherwise wouldn't be reached out to, so that they can know that transforming love of God that we have through our relationship with Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.